Thank you for checking out the Mercy Hill Church Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about Mercy Hill, you can visit us on the web at mercyhill.cc.
You might turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. We're going to keep it short today. I know the kids are in. It's always a challenge. It's great to give the children's ministry workers just a break, a weekend off to enjoy their family and sit in service. So we're aware of that. We appreciate the children's ministry workers. What a blessing they are to this church. The fact that they, week after week after week, are willing to give themselves to God's Word and to give themselves to teaching God's Word to young children. And so we thank the Lord for your sacrifice, your service, the way that you love our children, and it makes an impact in all of our lives. It's an important aspect of church ministry. And as you turn there, I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we just thank you so much for a beautiful day today. God, thank you for just the privilege that you've given to us this morning to open your word together. And Lord, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, would open our ears, open our eyes, soften our hearts, God, that we could receive your word with faith. God, thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst today, that we're not alone, that you are here with us. So God, we pray, be glorified, be honored in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 All right. So undoubtedly, children will be crying, laughing, talking, running around. That's okay. Please do not be embarrassed. I mainly say it for myself because my kids will definitely do that at some point in the service. So just beware that's going to happen and that is okay. Please don't feel funny about that. We're completely aware of that and we're happy that the kids are in with us. All right. So not that long ago, I was in El Salto where I spend many lunch afternoons, and I was having a conversation with someone, and as we were talking, we began to discuss what it would mean for this person to have spiritual conversations with people at work. And he's a blue-collar guy. He works in an industry that really doesn't necessarily embrace the ways of the Lord, per se, as a whole. And he was just saying it's really difficult for him to have spiritual conversations. And one of the things he said to me, he said, look, but you're a pastor, so that stuff's easy for you. You don't really get it because, you know, I'm here. And I'm like, I can see why you'd think that. But he assumed it was easy for me because this is like my job or whatever you want to call it. And what I wanted to communicate to him is it's not easy for anybody. That having spiritual conversations, that pointing people back towards Jesus, that living our lives before other people in a way that they're watching us so they know we're Christians, is not easy for anyone. I don't care what you do for a living. It's a difficult task. And what I appreciate about the Bursmas from last week is the missionary family from the Philippines who they're here on furlough. What I loved about the Bursmas was that they were just ordinary people. They weren't flashy. They weren't high energy. It just was like normal people who God has called to do some extraordinary things. But what they did is they said, look, we just walk in obedience to the Lord. And we're really nothing special. We're just obedient. Now, we'll get to more of this in a minute, but as we turn to 2 Corinthians, remember, as we went through Corinthians for a long time, but the church in Corinth was the first century equivalent to Las Vegas, all right? What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. It was a major port city of the Mediterranean basin. They had many, many goods, services, sailors, and everything else go through the city of Corinth. Had large temples. Had any possible thing that you could want in this earth was available to you in Corinth. Especially people who are coming long distances or maybe missing their families or their wives or whatever. They had everything available to them. And so the church there was a young church, but it was also an immature church. They had all kinds of problems arose in the church in Corinth. And so Paul's relationship with the church in Corinth, it was good, then it was bad, and then it got worse, and then it got better. I mean, it just was like this kind of rocky relationship that the Apostle Paul, who planted the church in Corinth, had with the church that he planted. And so, as the Apostle Paul is dealing with the church, he's understanding, look, I'm talking to people who are immature in their faith, but really need to know some very important things about the Lord. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, these immature believers, right? Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Paul begins to explain to the church, these young believers, that each one of us is called by God. We have a ministry that God has entrusted to us. And earlier, and we don't have time to go through this, but earlier in chapter 2 and chapter 3, he lays out what this ministry looks like. And one of the things that he says is that we are the aroma of Jesus Christ. We're the aroma of Christ. Now, as all of you know, if someone bakes chocolate chip cookies, as you walk into the house, right, what's that smell? That smell hits you, and you're like, someone's making chocolate chip cookies, right? I mean, it's a wonderful smell. Now, I don't know if any of you had this experience, but come home from work, and Michelle looks at me and says, so how was Subway today for lunch? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you smell like Subway, right? You have the aroma of Subway, and it sticks on you. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It's that Subway smell. It's not, I mean, it's okay, but it's still like Subway. You smell like meats and bread and all that kind of stuff, right? But as we talk about the aroma of Christ, it's more like the cookies, not like Subway, but as we talk about the aroma of Christ, there's something about what Jesus Christ has done in each one of our lives that permeates outside of us and has an effect on the people around us. Just like when we're baking the chocolate chip cookies, there's an aroma that fills the house. When you walk into that home, you know that chocolate chip cookies are being baked. Cookie, yes. Max just said, cookie? Like, no, sorry, son. We don't have cookies here. We're talking about cookies. In the same way, the aroma of Jesus Christ is to fill his people in such a way that it's a ministry. That where we go, the aroma of Christ goes with us wherever we are. Whether that's at work or at school or at home or where our family get-togethers, it doesn't matter. There is an aroma of Jesus Christ that goes with his people wherever we are. And he says, we have this ministry by the mercy of God. It's not just an obligation that we have somehow like, okay, no, we've got to do this. We've got to be there. No, it is the very mercy and grace of God that we have this ministry. It is God's kindness to us. It is God's mercy to us that we'd have this ministry. And so he's talking to a church that's in deep division. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the church. There's Jew and Gentile. There's educated and uneducated. There's rich and poor. There's old and young. There's all kinds of rifts. And Paul's pointing them back to their identity. This is who you are. And don't ever forget it. You are the very aroma of Christ wherever you go, especially as you come together as a church. You're the aroma of Jesus Christ. But it helps us to get a matter of perspective, doesn't it? As we think through these things. I know as going on a road trip, how many of you guys like road trips? Road trips, right? Now, how many of you like road trips with kids? All right, maybe a few less hands, okay. Road trips with multiple kids, right? So, you know, going on a road trip with our family, really, you think about, okay, and I remember there was a certain point in time when we were on this road trip, and at the time there's three kids crying all at the same time. And I remember turning around to our kids saying, look, I'm so sorry, but only two people can cry at one time. That's all I can handle. I can't handle three. I can handle two. So one of you has to stop crying and wait your turn. And then when you're done, then you can start crying again. It gets to that point, right? Or, and that's a part of the road trip, or it's also a gift of time that I have to spend with Michelle, which is precious to me. So I think, wow, road trip isn't just, you know, in the car with kids crying, or, you know, two kids crying at any given time. It's an opportunity for me to spend hours and hours and hours with Michelle that we don't get a whole lot of time just to kind of be together like that for that period of time. And it's a matter of perspective. So the road trip itself isn't necessarily a burden, it's a blessing. That I would get that time to spend with Michelle and have time to talk and just go through things together. And it helps as we think about our ministry to one another as well. It's a mercy of God that we can do this. It's God's grace that he would use us, his people, to be the aroma to other people. Okay, let's continue on. And I'm not going to go much longer, okay? 2 Corinthians 4, we're going to skip down to verses 5 through 7, okay? For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. That should be the true test, really, of any believer, any church, doesn't matter. Who is being proclaimed? Is it themselves? Is it a certain kind of ministry? Is it Jesus Christ? That is the true test. Who's being proclaimed? It says, we don't proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So we have this treasure of who God is and what he's like and what Jesus Christ has done for us in saving us and redeeming us and calling us his own and filling us with his Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in jars of clay, in fragile, simple jars of clay. As we think about who Jesus is and what he did, the way that he loved sinners, the way that he cared for and was gracious with people, the way that he loved people who are far away, people who are close, the way that he loved the sick, the way that he loved children, the outcast, people who would never receive mercy from Jesus. Now he calls us to come and follow him. And it's only possible because of the life that we have in us through Jesus Christ. It is only possible through Jesus Christ. And when I think about my own life, and I appreciate Michelle sharing that today, so often we can think of ourselves and just the insufficiencies that we have in our lives, our weaknesses, our inability to do anything, shyness or introverted, whatever it may be. I think there's no way. How can I ever be the aroma of Christ? We forget the treasure that we have inside of us. It's almost like this, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Christmas morning, presents all around the tree, and you give the kids their presents, right? And the kids get their presents, and they open the box, and it's like this new, brand new Nerf gun. I mean, it's got like a sight, and it's got laser lights, and everything glows in the dark, and it's this awesome gun. And then your child turns to you and says, Daddy, can I go play with the box now? And you're like, what? And you look around the room, and everyone's just playing with the box, with empty boxes. They're like obsessed with the box. And you're like, man, what's wrong with you kids? You got like this Nerf gun, you want to play with the box. And it can be that way for us sometimes. That God gives us his treasure, but all we can do is focus or keep looking at the box and say, look, this box isn't that great, or I've got all these weaknesses, and we forget the immeasurable treasure of who God is and what he's done through us in Jesus Christ. We forget about the treasure. We obsess with the box. Like we're like my kids on Christmas morning. And it helps us to change our perspective to see that it's more about Jesus Christ than it is about us. Hudson Taylor said this. He was a missionary to inland China 150 years ago. It says, all God's giants have been weak men or women who did great things for God because they reckoned on Him being with them. Just weak vessels for God because they reckoned God to be with them. That is our hope as well, that God is with us. He hasn't left us alone. If you feel weak, that's the vessel that God delights to use. If you feel inadequate, that's the vessel that God delights to use. If you feel inferior or uneducated or hopeless or too much of a mess, that is God's vessel that He delights to use. We're all jars of clay, and it's God's grace to us that He would use us for His purposes and His glory. Just jars of clay. But God makes something of us, uses us, transforms us by His grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You this morning, God, for Your abundant grace and mercy to us. God, we pray that You would use us in our weakness, God, in our inabilities at times and fearfulness, Lord. I pray that we would be the vessels that You would use. God, thank You for the mercy, Lord, that You've shown us and that You would allow us to be Your vessels. God, thank You that You've poured Your life into us. In Your name we pray. Amen.